Hello and welcome back to another episode of Inside the Asperger Studios. Today on the show, my next guest is the director of the VA LEND program out in Virginia, which is part of the Virginia Commonwealth University. We're going to talk about what they do and how they do it, and we'll get to know him as well. So sit back, relax, and grab your favorite beverage, and I'll see you on the other side. See you there.
I want to believe in the truth, but only see what I'm shown. Got the freedom to choose, but can't decide on my own. Follow what the group is thinking, bottle up my intuition till it's popping out the box that I don't fit in. I want to believe in the truth, but only see what I'm shown. Got the freedom to choose, but can't decide on my own. Follow what the group is thinking, bottle up my intuition till it's popping out the box that I don't fit in.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Inside the Asperger Studios. Today I'm joined with Matt Bogenschutz, who is the director of VA LEND out there in Virginia. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Hey, Reed, thanks so much for having me.
So why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So, as you mentioned, I'm the director of the Virginia Leadership Education and Neurodevelopmental Disabilities Program, which we usually call VA LEND. It's one of about 60 programs throughout the country that are somewhat similar. There are several other LEND programs here and there throughout the country. And we are based at Virginia Commonwealth University and provide a program throughout the state of Virginia. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that as we go on. I'm also a professor of social work at Virginia Commonwealth University. So I wear multiple hats, and I've been doing this work for my whole life, which we'll, I'm sure, get into as well.
All right, so what got you involved in working with those who have disabilities?
Sure. So way back when I was a kid, from the time when I was 1 year old, all the way up until the time I was 22, my parents directed a summer camp for kids with physical disabilities. And so through that experience, I've been around folks with disabilities my entire life, and it's become my real passion. And my goal for my career is to do whatever I can to help support folks to live really great lives in their communities. So from those beginnings, I helped to deinstitutionalize what was one of the largest private institutions in the state of Minnesota back in the day. I've been a mental health counselor, I've been a disability advocate, and nowadays I am a researcher, teacher, and program director. But I've always held that focus on helping to improve the lives of folks with various disabilities.
All right. I see your current project is funded by the National Institute of Disabilities Independent Living and Rehab Research. How has that helped you with the VA LEND program, and what have they done to help you?
Sure. So the NIDLR project that you mentioned is separate from LEND. They're two different things. So the NIDLR project uses large data sets that are specific to people with intellectual and developmental disabilities to learn about how what types of services and how much we spend on services relates to personal and system level outcomes for people with disabilities. So we can kind of tell how the state gets good bang for the buck for services. And what's working for folks with intellectual and developmental disabilities and what's not. So that's the NIDLR project. And then the VA LEND project is funded through the US Maternal and Child Health Bureau, which is a different federal agency. And that is a totally different funding entity. How that helps is that it creates an environment where I can support students and professionals in the field to learn more about how to support people with disabilities. So it really creates the VA LEND program, which is really important to get qualified professionals who can serve people with disabilities in a number of different
All
professions.
right. Now, how did the VA LEND program get started?
All right. So the program started about 27 or 28 years ago. So before I worked at VCU, and basically there was a need. We are seeing a big workforce need that there were not enough people from health services professions in order to meet the needs of people with disabilities and their families. And that was a big, big problem because people weren't getting assessed in a timely manner. We are seeing large disparities along the lines of race and social class in terms of who could access services and who did not. And we wanted to try to break down some of those barriers. So through the Autism Cares Act, which is a federal piece of legislation that is currently under consideration for reauthorization in the US Congress, we got funding for the LEND programs. And yeah, that's really the origin of LEND. Our particular LEND program has been around, like I said, for like 27, 28 years. And during that time, it's gone through a number of changes. And the program nowadays is very focused on providing person and family centered services. And that's really important to us. It's important to all LEND programs. But for us, I would say it's really one of our signatures.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about how LEND has helped those who are disabled. What kinds of programs have you done for those who come to the program who have one disability or another? What have you done to help them, and what kind of outcome have you had?
Sure. So many of the people who come through our program are professionals. So they're social workers or occupational therapists or educators or psychologists, and so on, many other professions as well. And they're like grad school students or people who work out in the field. We do also provide LEND to self-advocates. So adults who identify as self-advocates with disabilities, as well as the family members of people with disabilities, in order to help them better understand how they can be strong advocates and how they can partner with professionals and how professionals can partner with them in order to provide great service. So that's one way that we've helped is by building this bridge between the professional community and the advocacy community. We also do provide some services through our faculty who come from 15 different disciplines. So our faculty provide a lot of direct services. So they provide direct services for speech and language pathology, for example. They provide direct services in occupational therapy, physical therapy, genetic counseling, special education, social work, and so on. So our faculty and our students provide a ton of direct support for folks here in Richmond and throughout Virginia.
All right. Now, do you feel that anyone who's going into becoming a teacher needs to be trained in how to deal with those who are disabled?
I would love it if that were true. Sadly, it's not. Many teachers don't get much training at all about what it means to be neurodivergent or about how to set up their classroom to be friendly and effective for folks with various disabilities. So I feel like for educators, a program like Virginia LEND is really important because it provides a basis for an educator to understand how to do that, how to make an inclusive environment for folks with disabilities. Sadly, not everyone gets that, although I wish they would. I wish every teacher would get some background in how to serve folks who are neurodivergent, and especially folks with autism, because that's such a rapidly growing share of our neurodivergent population. It would be of huge benefit to the educational system if that were to happen.
Now, how has VA Lend helped those with autism?
Yeah, so we do focus a lot of our attention on folks with autism. So as you can imagine, in a program that's all about neurodevelopmental disabilities, autism takes up quite a bit of our time in the
I
program.
would.
We spend a lot of time talking through autism because it's one of the biggest neurodevelopmental disabilities and one that everyone is interested in. So again, how we've helped, I think, is through training professionals throughout many different disciplines who will meet lots of people who do identify as being autistic and helping them understand what their roles are with those individuals, as well as how they can partner and understand the individual's needs and how best to meet those needs. So we try to take a really person-centered approach. That's really what we drive home in our program. And I feel like by training professionals how to do that, that ends up helping folks to identify with autism in so many different ways. At the direct level, if you go in for occupational therapy services, for example, and your occupational therapist has gotten LEN training, then they'll be confident in how to best help you and how to best hear your preferences. And likewise, that person will pass on their knowledge to their colleagues. So there's this knock-on effect that the people who we train go on to train others and to write papers that help other professionals. So we hope that we have a snowball effect for professionals all throughout Virginia, in particular in our case, since we're based here in Virginia.
Now, how many have with autism have joined your program? Do you have any idea of numbers or?
So we actually don't collect that data because it's difficult to collect. Because of federal law, people have the option of whether they identify as autistic or not. They're not required to. What I can tell you is that our self-advocates who join LEND, and we have probably one or two per year who do, very, very often identify as being autistic. But that's only part of the story. We also have a lot of folks from our professions, maybe a social worker or an educator, who primarily identifies with their profession, but also identifies as someone with autism. So for that reason, it's really hard for us to put a count on things, because people are not required to identify. But I would imagine that each year of our program, we've probably had two to three people who have self-identified as being autistic come through the program. And you can imagine over the course of 25 years, that adds up to 75 people. So if I were to guess, I would say that roughly 75 folks have come through identifying with autism.
All right, now, do you know anyone who is autistic yourself?
I know tons of people who are autistic, both professionally and personally. All my life, I have not only worked with people with disabilities, but had lots of friends with disabilities as well. And autism is certainly part of that. And then, of course, in my professional circles, because of the work that I do through Virginia LEND, as well as through my research and my teaching, I know a lot of people with autism in a number of different capacities. And that's not even to mention the community partners who I work with, who oftentimes are from autism-related organizations. So yeah, working with folks with autism and knowing people with autism and hearing the lived experience of folks who identify as autistic is really part of who I
Yeah.
am. It's very much so.
I noticed that you have a 12 to 20 more, a 12 to 24 month seminar. Now, is that both in person or is that just online?
So in our Virginia LEND program, we are a completely online
Okay.
program. And the reason for that is we want to be accessible to people throughout Virginia. We are limited to Virginia. Our commitments are to develop the workforce within our state. So But we do provide our program virtually for anyone in Virginia who meets our criteria. Mostly a virtual program, but there are some in-person components, which I think we're going to talk about later as well.
Now, I see that the program has three different tracks. Where do you see the most people signing up for? Which track do you feel is the most effective to people? And where do you see most people using the most?
Yeah. So we have two different long-term tracks, and most of the people who come through the Virginia Len program end up being a long-term trainee. And the long-term trainee means that you do 300 hours worth of training through the Len program. So 300 hours is it's a pretty heavy commitment and not for everyone. So we want people who are really committed to learning about neurodevelopmental disabilities. Within that, some people take LEND for academic credit from VCU. These are usually grad students in a graduate program from VCU. Sometimes we do have a community member who will take it for academic credit. We're happy to have that as well. So this might be a teacher out in the field or an early intervention specialist who's been working in the field for a long time, for example. So we'll consider people who are out in the field for the academic track as well. If our students take Virginia Len for academic credit, they also receive a certificate in disability leadership from VCU, which is an official university credential, which is pretty cool. We also have a track where people don't have to take it for academic credits, because a lot of people don't want to dedicate the time every week to coming to class and don't want to do the assignments. They want to get their experience in other ways. Still 300 hours, but it doesn't result in that certificate I just mentioned. But that can be another really cool opportunity for folks. And then if someone doesn't have 300 hours to dedicate to the program, they can do 150 hours, and we call them an advanced medium-term trainee, which is also a great way to get some exposure to new ideas and to help sharpen up your advocacy or your professional experience to help support folks with neurodevelopmental disabilities.
So if someone wants to take it, they have to be A, be in Virginia, and
Right.
then B, they either have to choose academic or non-academic.
That's part of the process. Yep. And they also had to be from what we call a LEND discipline. So the government who supports the program, the Maternal and Child Health Bureau, they have a list of professions that they want to target with LEND training. And so they either had to be a professional in one of those professions, or they can be the family member of a person with a neurodevelopmental disability, or they can be a person with a neurodevelopmental disability themselves. So someone with autism or any other neurodevelopmental disability can also join.
All right. I also noticed you have some online programs. Let's talk a little bit about them and what they are.
Sure. So all of Virginia Land is online because, again, we want to be accessible to anyone in Virginia. And obviously, it's impossible to come to Richmond, where we're based each week, if you live out in another part of the state. So we are a virtual program primarily, but we do have online in-person components. So we have what we call the family mentorship experience, where we link each one of our trainees up with the family of a child with a neurodevelopmental disability to learn from their lived experience, to simply learn from their eyes and to get to know that family on a human level, about what they experience day to day, what their goals are, what their challenges are. And to really go in and meet that family as a learner and as an expert in their own experience. Our trainees love that. We have hands-on experiences where trainees go and see what other professionals do on a day-to-day basis to understand how to work together as an interdisciplinary team to support people with neurodevelopmental disabilities. They're required to get policy hours, so we sponsor events here in Richmond with the Virginia General Assembly to help educate lawmakers about disability issues here in Virginia. We also do the same federally because we are so close to Washington, D.C. We also take trainees up to D.C. each year to educate our federal lawmakers about issues that are important to folks with neurodevelopmental disabilities and their families. So those are all hands-on experiences that we hope our trainees will take advantage of.
I like that first one where you have the mentorship because I feel people don't really get a firsthand experience of what it's like to live with somebody with a disability. By giving that person that experience, I think they get a whole other view of what life is like, not just for the person with the disability, but the family. Because then they get an idea of, wow, I never realized what the family has to deal with.
Yeah, that's the entire point, right? Is to really help folks who may not always get that kind of exposure to understand everything that goes on with a family of a child with a neurodevelopmental disability and how complex their life can be, and also how rewarding and celebratory life can be. So that's really the point of the family mentorship experience. I'm glad we're sitting here to dwell on it for a second, because it's such an important part of what we do. And to be honest, it's something that many folks out in the field normally won't get. So if you are a professional in the field, you'll get a family in, you'll work with them maybe for 30 minutes at a time or an hour at a time. But once that session is over, you write your case note and you're on to the next person. And you never really get to understand that family holistically. And the family mentorship experience is absolutely meant to get towards that holistic experience of life, and to help our trainees understand that the families are so much more than what they see in their brief encounter in clinic. So, yeah, I'm glad you brought
I
that
mean,
up.
it is a good thing. And it you mentioned that Lend is not just in Virginia, it's all over the US. I'm hoping that program is everywhere because we need something like that for people who want to get an idea what it's like to live with either a disability or be that family who's caring for it because they may see somebody like me who has autism, but just go through life, but not realize what that other side is. I had a guest on my show who told me about her son and daughter, who when they were at summer camp, that they had someone that said something to them about, "Wow, you don't seem to be somebody who has ASD and ADHD, you seem to be on it." And their brother came up to him and said, "Well, they don't see the other side of it. With this program, they see both sides." And I think that's a blessing in itself.
Thank you so much for pointing that out. And, we always like to say that autism is so diverse. If you've met one person with autism, you've met one person with autism, and the next person with autism who you meet may be completely different, is likely to be completely different. And that's another thing that we try to impress upon people is that, every person is more than their diagnosis, and everyone carries their identity differently. And if we're going to be providing great support to people, we need to start where every person is at and understand how they make sense of their own life. So that's the one thing at the core of what we want to do at Virginia Land is to teach professionals who come through our program that they really need to understand individual experience if they want to do the best they can to support folks.
Yeah, and I think the problem with Things like autism and ADHD is there's a term that's going around, and it's an invisible disability. They don't see the turmoil we go through on a day-to-day basis, whereas somebody who's that has Downs or somebody who's in a wheelchair or somebody who has a physical disability, you see that. And so with that program, they see the other side of the coin. They say, oh, they do have struggles. They just don't show them when they're out in public.
Yeah. Or may sometimes, sometimes those struggles become apparent, but much of the time they aren't. And we never know what all is going into how someone else is navigating the world, right? So even though passing someone on the street, we may not understand that they're dealing with a lot, sometimes they're dealing with a lot. And
True.
yeah, in a professional setting, we especially need to realize that.
I mean, it's like when you were a kid and you see some person, homeless person on the street, and you go to make fun of them, and your parents stops you and says, I would think about that because you don't know what that person has gone through in their life.
Yeah, we never know. So that's why we need to respect everyone's lived experience, right? That's the starting place for all sorts of success. If we can teach our trainees that, then I think we're well on our way to being able to provide better support for folks with neurodevelopmental disabilities.
Now, how do you screen those who sign up?
Yeah, so we take applications this time of year. We're actually accepting applications now, if you're listening to this right away. We basically screen them for our basic criteria, being from a LEN discipline, being in Virginia. And then we have a few very short, easy essay questions about why you want to be a trainee, why you want to work with folks with neurodevelopmental disabilities, your commitments to diversity, equity, and inclusion. These are all very important to us. We ask about them up front. As long as people have reasonable goals that we think that we can help them build towards, then we'll likely get in touch with that person and see how we can include them in the program. We always want to be as inclusive as possible, or more to the point, as inclusive as our funding will permit, because we do give financial support to our trainees for participating in the program. And the federal government only gives us so much, and we need to use that money smartly and equitably. Yeah, we kind of screen for their commitments ultimately. So we're pretty values-based.
Right. Now, have you had to turn anyone down?
Occasionally we do. Yeah, sometimes someone will come in and apply, and they either won't meet the criteria, or they'll want to do the program for some reason that we cannot adequately support. These things happen. Some people have goals that are not the same as our goals, and that's fine, but we want to be honest with that up front, and we don't want to accept someone who's going to be disappointed in what we can support them to learn. So that's usually the folks who will screen out.
Right. What kind of turnout has the program had?
So we usually have in the neighborhood of 20 long-term trainees per year. And that's largely because of our federal funding level. Some LEN programs throughout the country have more, some have less. But because of our funding level, we usually have about 20, give or take. Yeah, over the course of the last 27 years or so, you can imagine that adds up. We've had quite a lot of people come through LEN and gain from the experience. And we're super proud of the work that folks are doing now. We have some people who are placed in leadership positions in Virginia state agencies. We have some people who are writing books. We have people who are doing really amazing stuff, and we love it when they keep in touch. So, yeah, we've had a lot of people come through the program.
I mean, yeah, I'm actually me myself, I'm actually writing a book about my life.
Oh, right
Yeah.
on.
Yeah, and
Cool.
I'll make sure to send you a copy when it comes out.
Yeah, how's it coming
It's
along?
good. I mean, the editing process is hard
Yeah.
before I send it off to an
Yeah.
actual editor, and then it's and then after that, it's defining a publisher.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. So it sounds like the content's almost done,
Yeah.
right? You're just kind of getting the edits in before you start to shop it around. That's an
Yeah, it
exciting
is.
time.
And finally, Matt, where can people find out more about you and VA Lend?
Yeah, so we're pretty easy to find. You can just do a quick Google search for Virginia Lend, and we should pop up there towards the top of your search results. We do have our website, which is our main portal. We also have a Facebook page, so you can look us up on Facebook, VA Lend. Or if you're in a different state, I realize that many of the people who will be checking out the podcast will not live in Virginia. I again want to put in a plug that Lend programs are all over the country. If you need to find out where other Lend programs are located, you can go to AUCD.org. And once you get to that page, up in the upper left corner, there will be a map of the United States and Lend. If you click on that Lend, that'll take you to a list of all the Lend programs throughout the country, and you can find the one in your state.
And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Reed Miles. That was Matt. And I'll see you in the next one. See you there. Thank you, Matt.
My pleasure. Thanks so much.
I'm exhausted, but I sleep too much.